to this, social media giants are not cooperating with China's new security laws being imposed on Hong Kong. Critics of the new laws say the measure, which criminalises secession, subversion, terrorism and collusion with foreign forces, devastates Hong Kong's autonomy. Now social media giant TikTok has announced it will exit the Hong Kong market, and other technology companies are also suspending processing government requests for user data in the region. The developments come as no surprise to Jack Yan, originally from Hong Kong, now living in Wellington. Jack, welcome to the panel.
Yeah, kia ora. Maybe hamanakia koto kato, kia ora.
Wonderful to have you on, Jack.
Yeah, it's lovely to be back on the panel. we've noticed a few things actually happening in Hong Kong too, the effects of this new law. I mean, we've got a whole democracy movement that's shut down. Demisisto, which is Joshua Wong, he's decided to quit. We've got journalists self-censoring because they're so worried that what they're writing will get them in trouble with those four things that you've just read out. And what's also quite worrying is that those four crimes, you can go to prison for life if you do them, and they're not really defined in the Act. So I'm tending toward these tech companies. I hear what they're saying. A lot of them have paused their actions pending review of this new law.
I just want to ask you first, Jack, on a personal note. When you see a home country, a place that you've lived, born, grown up in and loved, and you see this happening, what goes through your mind?
Well, it's kind of heartbreaking. I mean, one reason we came to New Zealand in the 70s was this. My parents foresaw that a bit early. They thought by 1997 this would actually all be kicking off. And, when you look at television from Hong Kong, you do feel a bit of homesickness. Even though I left as a boy, but I do still feel a little bit of a connection to the place, and it is heartbreaking. And the other heartbreaking thing is, China had all the opportunity to make this work. One country, two systems actually isn't such a bad idea, and in the long term, maybe even Chinese Commonwealth isn't a bad idea either. That would encourage people to be part of it. But right now, what they're doing is stoking fear. And so I worry about the people back there, and I worry about the sort of lives they may lead under this administration.
Well, in terms of the lives, one Joshua Rosenzweig, who is the head of Amnesty International's China team, he pulled no punches in saying the passing of the national security law is a painful moment for the people of Hong Kong and represents the greatest threat to human rights in the city's recent history. What are your thoughts?
Well, he's not exaggerating at all. For example, there's no presumption of bail. So you think, OK, well, I might get charged in this, but, hey, at least there's an independent judiciary in Hong Kong. Well, according to the Act, there is no independent judiciary. The judges are appointed by the chief executive, Carrie Lam, herself. So, and we know that she's pro-Beijing. She's so unpopular there at the moment. She makes Trump look like Obama. And there's no limit on how long you can be held if you're charged under the crime. In fact, the first man charged under it, he has been denied bail. He's deemed a flight risk, even though presently he's in a wheelchair because of his injuries. So if he's a flight risk, then pretty much everyone else is. The other point that Joshua makes, again, why I agree with him, is Article 38 says this applies outside Hong Kong. So you and I, Wallace, we could be saying something that could be deemed a crime of subversion and we could be charged under it. Now, obviously, New Zealand wouldn't allow us to be deported, but they could well find us guilty. They really have the balls to try to make this apply to everyone on the planet.
Quite extraordinary, isn't it? I mean, how will this change the day-to-day lives? If you just keep on going, living your life, I mean, it's got that, it's got the traditions, it's got great cultural traditions. The art, contemporary art out of Hong Kong right now is off the hook. They've had civil liberties not enjoyed across the border. How do you think this will change? Will it have a chilling effect? Will life change that much? What do you reckon?
Majority of people who might be thinking right now, well, I'm not doing anything wrong, I just want to get off my life.
Right.
But I still generally believe people felt a bit freer in the past. You might say, well, the British didn't give Hong Kong democracy either, and that's a fact too. But the people felt free, I think, to express themselves. I mean, the one thing the first person charged in the Act has said, he used the slogan which said, "Liberate Hong Kong, revolution of our times." which is the sort of thing that probably you could say quite easily 20 years ago, and no one would really think twice about it. They just think, okay, well, you know, you're pro-independence, good on you. Whereas now, I think there'll be people thinking twice. There'll be a lot of young people who'd be, I think, really looking at perhaps residing elsewhere, or perhaps just, yeah, trying to button down and change the way they act and change the way they behave just to conform. So I'm not sure if the freedoms are going to be there. I think that this really will change the way Hong Kong is and will be.
While you're there, let's jump with it. Let's get our panellists jumping in. I don't know if you've had anything to do with Hong Kong, Catherine, or if you've been there. It's a place I've always wanted to go. But it's certainly pretty severe what's happening.
Oh, it's appalling. And I think, I mean, I'm amazed. Jack sounds so sort of, I mean, he's very clear about it, but you sound so relaxed about it. And I'm sort of going, I don't know, you're probably not relaxed, but I'm just, this is an absolute violation of human rights. And I think the most terrifying thing that you said was there's no definition of those terms under the Act. So, I mean, you could be wearing a T-shirt with something that somebody finds a bit off and you're in. No bail, you're imprisoned for life. It's horrifying. And the fact that, you know, people I know that are from Hong Kong living here talking about, well, are they really protected? I mean, yes, our country would obviously not let us be deported, but who else would suffer, you know, relations, etc. I just find the whole thing absolutely terrifying.
Phil?
Well, I've been to Hong Kong on several occasions. It's one of the most extraordinary parts of the world. It's so vibrant and full of life and full of innovation, and, you know, sometimes can feel pretty edgy, actually. And the sad thing about what's going on is that that will start to go away. And I thought the UK did a clever thing the other day by saying, look, if you're a Hong Kong citizen, you can come to the UK. And what will happen is the best and brightest will. And those clever technology companies will leave, because they're not going to be under the yoke of the Chinese wanting all the details and the data about what they do. They're not in China anyway at the moment. They'll just leave there as well. So the competitiveness and that this creativity that the globe can get from Hong Kong will simply go away. And that's a very, very sad thing, not just for Hong Kong and China. It's a sad thing for the rest of us.
But what if like, leaving the country was seen as an act of subversion?
Probably will be, but they won't be back. That's my point. I mean, that's what happened over the course of history.
I know.
The brilliant people leave dictatorships and travel to democracies.
I'm worried about them being not able to leave.
Jack, sure. Before we leave, are you still there, Jack? Can I just one more question? I just want to ask you, this was always going to happen. It's just brought forward a bit early.
Yeah, I mean, my parents thought it happened in 97. I thought it might have been 2047 when the joint declaration basically runs out, the one that the British and the Chinese signed. The interesting thing, though, Phil, you brought up the UK. I think, first of all, we've got to ask whether Boris Johnson can be both Prime Minister and the father of a newborn child. But the second thing is, I don't think currently what they're proposing is that different. You've still actually got to apply. It's not automatic. You've still got to pay £600 a year for your health surcharge. So in my book, it's about as different as the old Austin 1300 Mark III and the old Austin 1300 Mark II. You know, the British are great at making speeches about stuff. Tony Blair was making speeches about this when he was in opposition. And I think all the British have really been able to do is have Chris Patten write a few editorials. So, I mean, I'd like to see BNO. I'm a BNO passport holder, British National Overseas Passport holder. I'll believe when I see it. But I do agree with you generally, Phil. I mean, there could be a brain drain.
Just a question, because a bit of interest in this. Wallace, can you ask your guest what's in this for China if they, while quote-unquote out of Hong Kong as a finance centre, what does the Communist Party get out of it?
Well, they, I think they have been quite happy to let the other major Chinese cities, Shenzhen, Shanghai and so forth, be the big financial hubs. So in many ways, Hong Kong has become more and more sacrificial in their eyes. I mean, it's no longer a manufacturing hub. It is, I suppose, a gateway between East and West. But if certain countries carry out their threats, you know, such as the US, then what special status does Hong Kong have after that? People might just deal with Shanghai if they want to deal with the Chinese economy. So they may just centralise their power within the mainland.
All right, Jack Yan, appreciate you being on the program. Thank you very, very much.
You're very welcome.
That's very interesting, Phil, that sort of shift, that business shift from Hong Kong.
Yeah, that's right. It's been going on for some time, as a matter of fact.
Oh, has it?
Yeah, so the Chinese have been investing it. Jack's absolutely right about that. They've been investing in places like Shenzhen, just a massive city now across the border, of course, and also in Shanghai as the financial capital. And, of course, for them, that's about control, because they don't quite control Hong Kong. So then they're suspicious of that, of course, and so they want control. And they've got the wherewithal to do that. So that's why they're building new financial centres and new business centres elsewhere on the mainland.